to understand the DEP budget, what's going on with that, and why that's occurring. And I think we can address that in the future and try and get a better understanding of how that's going on. Is there any board member that would like to make a comment on that?
Jerry Byrd, the only comment is my comment number one on active participation.
Thank you, Jerry. And so anybody else? Okay. I do know that, let me see, I copy and pasted some stuff in here, so bear with me. Okay. So, I'll sing to you, number director's report. Okay, so, Eric, as far as the financial program audit update that we had to provide all the information, what is going on with that? Can you give the board and membership a better understanding of where we stand on that?
At this time, I can't, Randy. I just got back this morning, and I haven't got an update from anybody here yet on it. So as soon as I find out and get that information, I'll push it to you guys.
Okay. I'm looking through the draft contract, and I know you said you weren't going to read through the contract. And the reason I ask is because looking through the contract, it said that this company was going to provide a draft report, and I know I requested it, and apparently it hadn't been done yet, but we'd appreciate an update on that as soon as possible.
Yeah.
Okay. And RSA 15, I believe that report was supposed to be done by the end of December. Do you know where we stand with that?
Yes. Yeah, it was done. Well, right up against the deadline. I think we got it done Thursday or Friday just before I left for vacation, so I'll push that to you guys this week.
Yeah, and I'd appreciate it in the future if you would send that stuff to all of us. It shouldn't be that much more work to send it out to the membership and the board, when that goes out. So I'd certainly appreciate that.
Yeah, I assume that's what you wanted because you'd said that, I think, at a couple different meetings now.
But it hadn't happened, so I'm just reminding you. Thank you. Go ahead. Anybody else? Okay, proposed new monthly reporting forms. Can you give us an update on that? I haven't totally looked into it, but it looks like there's been a change form. Did that spawn from the audit, or is that something that the agency just decided to do? Or
are you talking about the new monthly statement?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a form that I've been, oh my gosh, trying to get that through the finance department, trying to get them to provide that information to managers so there's some transparency around what payments are coming in, where payments are being applied, and as you guys obviously know, the state financial system is archaic, to be perfectly honest. So Gail, our CFO, has worked really closely with her group to provide these statements in that format that I sent out to you guys 2 or 3 weeks ago to take a look at. And those will start coming out, I believe, this billing cycle, so the end of this month. We're in January now. And it provides you all of the details around each person's individualized set-aside account. So it's just trying to give you all the details that a lot of times people really wanted that finance couldn't provide in a uniform fashion. So
if you guys could please mute your phone, I hear some music or a TV coming through, please. Eric, so thank you. Is that intended to assist, there's been a habitual pattern of managers not filing reports on time. I mean, I can track it back for years and years and years, and even recently it looked like there was 60 or 70% of the managers that still didn't report on time. So, I don't know. I don't have it in front of me, but maybe half of them. But is this, you think, geared to help managers understand where they are, or is it supposed to help them? I know one of the things I wanted to talk to you about on the director's report is what kind of services are being provided to managers who get behind. Is there been individualized, training, or has there been, obviously it's a problem. I don't think any of us would argue that point because the records show it has. So, and I'm just trying to figure out how we can get to that. Is this form supposed to help with that? Or?
I think it will. It wasn't directly targeted at that purpose, but I think anytime somebody has a better understanding of, if you got your power bill at home and your power bill says you didn't pay your power payment for last week or last month, then, we're going to come shut you off in a couple months, then, I think transparency is always good that way. Things we've been helping people with, we've had some very specific individualized conversations with people who are routinely late. And that's one of the things in my director's report, because you guys had asked about post-employment services. And I saw, as I'm trying to get through the emails here, that you'd recommended a few different things for potential post-employment training that might help with that. So because when you said post-employment training, I'm like, well, I'm not quite sure how to help somebody, pay their bills on time or get their stuff in on time. So I think that's helpful. It looks like you provided some suggestions on that.
Yeah, and with $45,000 in past due set aside, I believe it is. I mean, obviously, it's a concern. It should be a concern. I'm sure it's a concern to the agency. It's certainly a concern to all of us, especially those who pay monthly on time. So hopefully we can, hopefully the committee can work with you on this as applicable. Is there any board member that would like to make a comment on this? Is this
Jerry?
Jerry, go ahead.
Yes, it kind of brings me back to some of my first other comments. Seems one person is making these decisions. When we have a form that we've used forever, and before Eric actually got in, and he started changing a few and different things and sent them out to us, and they used to be at Disgust and stuff. I mean, these are forms that concerns us all, and we have a BECC board, your partner. Once again, they make up forms, don't let us see it, tell us a done deal, and then they say just accept it. I'm not saying they're a bad form. I look through it, and I think it's quite a form that's, I would say, almost unnecessary. It's directing, trying to corner people, or whatever you want to say. I mean, they're making, but my thing is, once again, Eric, this form affects every person in our program. Once again, the question, did you bring this form to the board?
Yeah, Jerry, I sent it to you about 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Did you get the board to have a meeting and vote on it and discuss this form for them to make give you a recommendation?
Isn't that what we're doing right now?
Eric, please just answer my question.
Yes, Jerry, we did. We're doing it right now.
Okay, well, again, I'm concerned with not being known about it, and here you go. And anyway, thank you.
Any other board member like to make a comment? Any license line vendors or public that would like to make a comment? Okay.
Third, I have a motion.
Okay. Gary?
Yes, I'd like to make a motion that we do not accept this form at this time until we have more of a chance to review it and discuss it and then bring it forth as an item to vote. So I make a motion that we do not accept this form at the current time. Thank you.
Okay. So a motion has been made. Do we have a second on that?
I'll second it.
Derek has seconded it. The motion, second. Open discussion. Any discussion?
Yeah. I just think, we're going to have another meeting on the 28th. We could take a couple weeks to really go over it and get our comments and our what we like and what we don't like about it. And I think it'll be just something that should be done.
Okay. Any other comment? Any other board member comment? Okay. Any comment from license line vendors or the public?
I would just like to make a suggestion that, you know, maybe the finance committee can address this and hold a meeting so people can come and kind of do a little workshop between now and then and talk about it.
Sure. And, you know, note taken. And, you know, again, my comment would be, might not be a bad form. However, we have to get back to active participation, and we have to get back to all the business being done, you know, together and inclusive, and with, you know, communication and these things being done and public meetings not being brought afterwards. And I mean, it might not be a bad form, and it might seem kind of micromanaging, but, you know, I think you have the Mickey Mouse training there in Chicago. You know, micromanaging is not a bad thing. And it's overmanaging. It's doing a good job, right? So let's try and find a way to get to that point, Eric. You know, as bluntly as I can put this, it looks like a lot of stuff that you do, and I'm trying not to criticize, but a lot of the stuff maybe gets done and then brought to the committee, and we want to try and change that dynamic. So, again, a motion has been made, a second has been made. I'll go ahead and call for the question, yay or nay. Derek Stevenson?
Yay.
Art Stevenson?
Yay.
Jerry Bird?
Yay.
Steve Gordon?
Yay.
Steve Jackson?
Yay.
And myself? Yay. Okay, moving along. Previously requested information. I know that there's times where we'll request information of the agency, and for one reason or another may not get that information, and I know we're working through exactly what does financial information look like and what's the definition of it and how do we get it and so forth and so on, but at this point in time, again, I believe this will be another placeholder on our agenda. So previously requested information, is there any board member who wants to address this? Is there any information that you've requested that hasn't been provided?
Randy?
Yes.
Is this dealing with the definition that I sent forward, what relevant means, or is this what we're talking about, just for a point of clarification?
Let me look here, my friend. Real committee grant. Yes, this would be the proper time to do that. It looks like to me, my friend.
Okay. Well, I sent out a definition of what relevant means in accordance with the dictionary, and therefore I want to make a motion. That be the definition that we use and OCB should use, because there's been controversy here where our director has said, well, that's relevant and that's not relevant, and of course I've asked what is your definition of relevant, never did get a response, and so I make a motion that we adopt the definition that I sent out to all the managers and to Eric, that we adopt that definition of relevant, and if it deals with what's going on in the program or what's transpiring, that we be provided that information, which includes you know, a breakdown of the invoices for the expenditures from the Attorney General's office.
Art, Board Member Stevenson, do me a favor and clean that motion up, and I will hear it, please.
I move we adopt the definition of relevant that I sent out to all the blind license managers. I don't have it right in front of me, but everybody got it, including Eric.
So it needs to be read. I don't have it, but someone needs to read the definition, or I know Randy was checking in, asking some of the series and that different thing, the definition. So before I want to vote, I want to hear that definition. I know I probably read it. Does anybody have that?
Yeah, let's look it up. We're going to move forward on the next. Well, there's been a motion made. I'm going to actually call for a second, as required. Is there a second on this?
Randy, also it's on old business under C, says program relevant information definition.
Got it. Yeah, sorry, my friend. Sorry, Jerry, I missed that. Yeah.
Okay, let's just move on.
Okay, so you withdraw your motion. I'll let that fall.
I'd just like to say, I'd like to make a motion to table this till our next meeting and handle it then.
Okay, a motion's been made to table this until our next meeting. Is there a second on that? Okay, hearing no second, I'll let that fall. Okay, so a motion's been made, and did I hear a second?
I seconded it.
Okay, second's been made. Open for discussion.
Gary, I'm trying to find, because, you know, we've done this last, and, you know, if I knew, I wasn't prepared to read the definition. I thought someone else was going to read that or have that, but it's getting kind of strange how we can't even come up with a definition.
It means just what it means. It means anything that has to deal with the business that's relevant.
Well, let me make a comment here while we're trying to find relevant. Program information has been hard to come by. Many requests have not been provided, from my opinion, and I think others. And so what Director Morris previously requested is that we provide I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, so correct me if I'm wrong, but provide a definition for what information would, you know, fall within our request, which that was a little bit overreaching. However, I believe Board Member Stevenson came up with the definition of relevant.
Randy?
Yes.
Okay, hold on a second, and I got it here. I got my iPhone, and I'll try to read it to you. Come on. Okay, relevant is... Come on, read it. What is the definition of relevant?
It pertains to something.
Closely connected. Alright, hold on a second. Okay, are you guys listening? What is the definition of relevant?
The definition of relevant is having a bearing on or connection with the subject at issue.
Alright, well, we heard that. That's been recorded. There was a motion made and there was a second made. Is there any other discussion on that?
Jerry, I got one little discussion.
No.
I was just wondering about, you know, relevant it is too, and I just like noted that relevant meaning something to Eric might not be relevant to him, but it may be relevant. The information we're requesting is relevant for us. So I just wanted to say that.
Yeah, and Eric, I know you're there, and I know this has gotten confusing. What's the easiest, best way for us to, all managers, to be provided program information from the agency?
Well, Randy, I think that's why I wanted you guys to have the discussion, because Jerry makes a good point about relevancy, what I believe is relevant versus you versus Jerry versus the other people in the program. That's why I asked you guys to come. And I thought Art was going to talk to Jesse about that for some guidance, too, but I haven't heard any more about that piece of it. So,
well, from your perspective, what do you need? I mean, what do you consider program relevant? I mean, because I don't know if that would, again, be what we consider program relevant. So how do we, instead of being at a stalemate here,
yeah,
requesting information, how do we get information provided to us?
Yeah, Randy, I know, like, on the talking about financial stuff, for example, I think since I've been here, we've provided a ton of financial information to you guys, because the you know, I didn't see the reports that you guys got before I got here, but my recollection is we provide a pretty a ton of information in those financial reports. So I think if you guys come to an agreement about what you're looking for, we can try to craft it into, like, specifically talking about financial stuff, into that report, so it's consistent and accurate as possible. And, you know, that's at least from my perspective.
Well, and I believe, Eric, I believe it's bigger than financial. I believe it has any implication with program, like site surveys. You know, recently, as a licensed blind vendor, as you know, I requested unassigned vending location information, and I was denied that, and I had to go through public records to get the information. And so that's where there might be a disconnect. I believe, and I think anybody on the phone, or most anybody on the phone, would understand that that would be, or believe that would be program relevant. So, you know, that's why I'm trying to work with you on this. It shouldn't be that hard, really. You know, if the agency is transparent and inclusive and wants to willingly work with the elected committee and all the licensed blind vendors, it shouldn't be an issue, right?
Yeah, I would think
yeah,
so.
Yeah, Randy?
Yeah. Yeah, Jerry?
Yeah, just on, like I said, on relevant, that should be, it's any information that's not confidential, just like it says in there. Because, you know, and then if you look at the Blackmans or something like that, law dictionary, you know, we got to have, Eric tells which dictionary will he accept and will put in that language, because I've looked through several of them, and they all have a little different wording. But they all kind of mean the same thing, which is basically anything that you're associated with or whatever. I look at it this way. I'm a licensed blind vendor, so actually anything that has to do with the BE program that I think is relevant to it. And I'm also in the Blind Commission. So therefore, any information that I think is relevant just being in the Blind Commission. So I would say anything that's not personal financial information, whether it's OCB or BEP, should be provided to you if you believe it's relevant. I think the only thing I can say that Eric does, he likes to have to charge us for it, which to me blows me away, because he's supposed to be working for helping us. So why don't he give up there? We get it anyway, but he wants to charge $800 just a deterrent. And that's just not right. Thanks.
Thank you, Eric. So, board, hey, Derek, hold on just a second. I'm going to ask the board for some guidance on this. Again, we have some more important business, and this is important, but I've lost track. My head's kind of spinning. I've lost track of exactly if there's a motion, if we've withdrawn it, but you guys help guide me through this. And Derek, go ahead. I know you wanted to make a comment.
Yeah, well, to me, the bottom line is what we feel is relevant. It doesn't have anything to do with what Eric feels is relevant. If we feel something is relevant and we need information, it should be supplied.
All right. Is there any other discussion? And board members, bring me up to speed. Where do we stand on this action item?
Chair House?
Yes, sir.
Let's just move on to the next item.
Okay. Okay. Next item is Chemeketa Community College. I believe that was something, Art, that you wanted on the agenda, so I'll let you handle that if you don't mind. Do you have some questions relevant to that? Art?
Am I off mute?
You are.
Okay. I know Eric sent out a letter to Chemeketa concerning the fact that we had a bunch of new machines and stuff. And he asked us for guidance on you know, what we wanted him to do. Well, obviously, you know, we don't do RFPs, we do surveys. And I asked the questions if Chemeketa Community College had provided us with their what they needed concerning ORS 346.220, which is quality, quantity, and price. And so, as far as an update on Chemeketa, I'd like to know if we have received from Chemeketa the requirements as to quality, quantity, and price, and has OCB responded to those requirements, and then also I do believe that Eric should be working with the Vending Facility Development Committee on this, in procuring this facility into our program. And so, Eric, have you received those parameters of quality, quantity, and price from Chemeketa Community College?
Art, I don't believe I have. I haven't got through all my emails from vacation, but as far as I know, I haven't.
All right. So have you asked them for their requirements as to quality, quantity, and price, Eric?
I have not.
Why have you not? Because 220 is part of our state statutes, and it says whenever we can provide quality, quantity, and price, we're supposed to be given preference, and that should be the first thing that the agency does, is follow the laws and rules and regulations of our program, make sure that we have those parameters so that we can exercise our preference in accordance with 220. And so will you please send an email, if you have not received it from Chemeketa, will you please send a request to Chemeketa to provide us and work with the Vending Facility Development Committee on this project in obtaining the college into our program?
Oh, sorry. I was just writing down some notes here to try to take that into consideration. I'll take a look at it, Art. I was waiting to hear back from him.
Well, Eric, obviously, you know, Chemeketa really doesn't want to give it to us.
Yeah, I think that's
because
pretty fair.
I mean, they're putting it out on an RFP, and the agency has a direct responsibility to find out what is the requirements under quality, quantity, and price, and submit a proposal under those parameters. And that was one of the reasons that I was made my comments at the commission meeting, that the agency did an RFP for the commissary project instead of saying, hey, I want in writing what your parameters are to quality, quantity, and price, and then I'm going to submit to you that I can provide quality, quantity, and price and exercise our preference. Okay, so
I think that's okay. I think your point has been made.
Thank you, Eric. And when can we expect, you know, whether you're going to move forward on this? Because obviously they said they were going to put it out to bid in January, and obviously we're running behind because we haven't got those things. And obviously, you know, you're supposed to allow active participation, and so I would at least expect you to say that you're going to work with the Vending Facility Development Committee on this project and do what's supposed to be done.
Thank you, Art. Eric, what's your thoughts?
I guess I'm just trying to wrap my head around what Art just said. So he wants me to send a letter to the Chemeketa, asking for quality, quantity, and price, get that information, then come back to a subcommittee, work with the subcommittee, then go to active participation for the full elected committee. Am I understanding that correctly, Art?
Well, we obviously they're putting it out for an RFP. Obviously, we don't have quality, quantity, and price, and if we don't have quality, quantity, and price, we can't provide them with any offers or anything, and that's what our state statute says is supposed to transpire. And so, I mean, I don't know, well, you know what, Eric, I just rest my case. I mean, you know, that's why we didn't get anywhere with the commissaries and of course, Chemeketa.
Yeah, we have that.
I'm gone.
Other things, so thank you very much.
Jerry Bird.
Yeah, Jerry?
Yeah, I'll be quick. Yeah, Eric, I know you've been on vacation and stuff, but they sent you a letter dated quite a bit back, like I remember the 7th of February, November or something. Of course, you said you didn't get it for a week or so, but anyway, and then we discussed it, and I believe what we told you in the motion, basically, or whatever, was to follow the statute. That they sent you a letter saying that their vending opportunity is coming available at Chemeketa. Like I said before, they're doing their part, sending them to you. Now, it's your responsibility, like you've done, to send back to them and say thank you for letting us know. We do not need to come and do a survey because we have run that before and we know that vending can work there because they've been there forever and still are. But therefore, we still need to come out and survey for what we will be replacing and set. And then we want to make you an offer of what we're going to do out there. Now, that's what you're supposed to be doing. And then you let them come back. They got to respond to you within 30 days. Or they're in non-compliance. And therefore, if they respond to you and say, Eric, thank you for your offer, we chose just to go competitive. We're going to do an RFP. Thank you.
Jerry, Eric, what's your take on that?
On what Jerry just said?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think the important thing to remember is we've let them know we're interested in doing the vending there, so we need to hear back from them. And I can't remember right off the top of my head when we sent that letter to them, but a lot of these places will say, hey, it's one extreme or the other. Either they go out for RFP and you never hear about it, or they say, hey, we're going in January, then it's February. So I always take that with a grain of salt. Just like BPA said they were going out for an RFP in May and they just never went out for an RFP. So I'll look into it. I got to get through my email and see what's going on, and then we'll take it from there.
Okay. Okay, is there any other comment on this? We do have, you know, we have about 20 minutes, 25 minutes. We have some other stuff to take care of here. Is there any other comment on important matter?
Okay. One little thing I'd like to ask Eric, that I see his letter that he sent back to him. It's fairly okay. Thing that troubled me, it ended, had no signature, didn't say it come from Eric, said nothing, which bothers me. Like, why did it end before you said thank you? Was there more to that letter?
Jerry, to be honest with you, I think I might have just pasted the content in there of the letter. I'm pretty sure I would have signed it and said thank you, big hugs and kisses, that kind of thing.
Well, Eric, maybe when you get back, if you would send a fully executed letter, that would be great when you get through your emails, maybe this week sometime. So. Okay, any other comment before we move on? Some of these other things are very similar to this. So, I mean, again, we have some important business to handle. And, you know, the way I look at it, guys, I don't think we're going to convince the agency, you know, no matter how much we try and lecture them or let the agency know what the law says. I mean, I don't think we're going to convince them. So I think it's probably incumbent upon us to ask questions and get things on the record and, you know, maybe make a statement that, look at Eric, you know, this is what the law says and we would ask you to do this. So, I mean, for what it's worth, you know, it's sad but true, but many times what I've seen the agency, hopefully we'll be able to work together and change that, but I haven't seen that, our comments encouraging them to do anything different. So, OIT, Klamath Falls, anybody want to comment on that at all or have any questions about that? Okay. Anybody have any questions about OIT, Klamath Falls? I know.
Randy?
Yes, all right.
Okay. Eric, obviously, OIT put it out to bid. Obviously, I don't think that an offer was submitted. Obviously, I don't think they're in compliance with our state statutes. So, I'm going to make a motion right now concerning OIT that the commission exercise our preference, that we recommend that OCB exercises our preference and takes steps to bring OIT into compliance with the state statutes, and that is that blind license managers shall operate vending facilities if we can provide quality, quantity, and price.
A motion has been made. Do I have a second? Motion has been made. Do I have a second?
I'll second, Steve.
Okay, Steve Jackson, second. A motion has been made, second. Any discussion?
Call the question.
Any discussion? Okay, then call the question, yay or nay. Derek Stevenson. Yay or nay, Derek Stevenson. Yay or nay, Art Stevenson.
Yay.
Yay or nay, Jerry Hurt.
Yay.
But it's okay. Yay or nay, Steve Gordon. Yay. Yay or nay, Steve Jackson.
We'll say yay.
Go ahead and move on.
And so we have
obviously the Washington County Commissary meeting with Morris. I think Eric, you had talked about, obviously the agency was not a successful bidder on the commissary in Washington County, and I believe that you had indicated you were going to have a follow-up meeting. Did that ever occur, and if it did, can you fill it in?
Randy, it's getting real hard to hear you.
Can you hear me now?
That's a little better.
Okay. So did you have a meeting with Washington County following a follow-up meeting?
We did not.
Okay. Do you plan to? I believe you said you were going to.
No. We had talked about doing it, but once we got the results of the scoring and it was pretty obvious that the company that won provided a huge cash incentive, 20-some plus thousand dollars, it was pretty apparent why they went the way they did. So, we didn't pursue that.
And when you
said it,
you mean you and me.
I'm sorry?
Who? When you say we, you mean you and who?
Me. The BE program.
Okay. Gary?
Just once again, I stand on 13 on participation once again. No we, it's me.
Okay. Well noted. Let's go ahead and move along if we can. We have committee reports, assignments. I'm not sure if there's any updates, but we could briefly go through. We have Jerry, you under rules committee. Do you have an update on your committee?
Yes, my update is I've been sending out, going through handbooks, and I've been sending them to my subcommittee people, which is Randy House, Bart Stevenson, and Linda Hayden, myself. And we'll just gather information, and I'll keep you updated. Thank you.
You bet. Thank you. Derek Stevenson, I don't know if you have an opportunity to do an update or not. Derek, are you on the line too?
Yeah, can you repeat that? I had to switch.
Yeah, just if you could do a brief update, if you've had any movement on your transfer and promotion committee or what your plans are with that.
The facility development committee?
Yeah.
No, I have no update at this time. We've pretty much been discussing all this during our meetings.
Okay, and just so you know, I have reached out to I forget her name. Kathleen Gannon. And Eric, I understand that you and Kathleen had some conversations, and I also know that in, I believe, April, at the strategic planning that the commission had, that it was indicated that retirement was for electric line vendors was right around the corner, and it's since fall off the radar. Can you give us an update of what happened with that and or your conversations with Kathleen?
Well, Randy, I don't know I don't remember who I was talking to at the retirement deal, because it's been a long time ago, and we haven't done much pursuit of it, because at the fall in service, not 2016 but 2015, there was a lot of pushback, so we haven't pursued it.
What kind of pushback, do you know?
I could go back through the minutes of that meeting, but there was just basically a lot of, give us the money now kind of thing versus long-term retirement planning. So I'd have to go back and look, but that's the impression that I have in my head from that meeting.
Okay, well, I'm going to follow up with Kathleen. I know that we're going to and try and invite her to a meeting. I believe LaWanda, and correct me if I'm wrong, but LaWanda's still on the line. I believe LaWanda had indicated that she previously was going to invite Kathleen to a meeting, and you suggested not to have that occur. I believe that was the case, but I'm going to reach out to Kathleen and see if we can get some more information. It sounds like the project or the program that you were discussing from Kathleen's perspective may be a heavy lift, and so not sure if it'll work out or not, but I will keep everybody up to date on that. I'm going to reach out to some other states too and see how those few states that have retirement handle that, and I'll get back with everybody on that.
I got a question.
Yeah, Gary.
Real quick, just that, it's kind of an important thing. I just would like Eric to direct Eric once again to our 2001 handbook, and where it says uses of set aside funds, and how it starts to say that we get the last thing after we don't use any money, it gets going to your set aside to be used for even reduce our set aside. So I want you to remember that once again, this set aside is our funds. And when you want to make an offer to it and say, if you put in a dollar, we'll give you the dollar back when you want it, that's not a benefit. So, therefore, I think the pushback was because it was we this time. Thank you.
Yeah, and Jerry, thank you very much. And Eric, that just rang the bell. I believe that was the concern, is that this retirement that you were proposing was coming from our own investments, and it was going to be similar to like a state employee retirement fund and not coming out of the benefit package allowed through set aside. So again, we're going to reach out and try and see what might be available for us all to work together on. So
Randy?
Yes, Art?
Okay. The Oregon State statutes allows for us, if we so choose, to take advantage of the retirement plans that the state has. OLCC has a plan in place which is supposed to be what we're supposed to be doing. And therefore, I've had discussions with Kathleen and stuff. If you and the Active Committee will permit me, I will work with Eric and work with Kathleen in just making sure that the same statutes are followed, that the opportunity for us to take advantage of it is there. And then, as we discussed in a previous meeting, the managers have the option to take advantage of it or not, but the state is supposed to set up us to be allowed to have the opportunity. That's in our state statutes, and so I will take it on if that's the desire of the elected committee.
Well, thank you, Art. We're going to move forward, and we will circle back to that at the next meeting. Hopefully the next meeting won't have such a large agenda. We'll be able to more systematically work through these, but I've recorded that, and let's circle back and talk about that. Any other discussion out there before we move on? Okay, so we've talked about the Douglas County Courthouse at length previously. Under 8 is the BECC position paper. Just so you guys know, there's been some thought here about, what happens when we make a motion and it's not accepted, which, unfortunately, what happens is the agency, if they don't like our motion, they deny it, and then that forces us through either acceptance of it or through the complaint process, which is a flawed process. I've met with numerous directors across the land. I've met with the director from Arizona. I've met with the director from Alabama, the former director who you all know, Ray Dennis. I've met with Raven Pulliam. I've met, obviously, with Terry Smith and Michael Hooks, and the list goes on and on. And what I've seen, what I've heard, more ring true than not, is the directors say, look, if the committee wants something and it is not illegal, we support it. We help them. We support them. And unfortunately, I haven't seen that here in Oregon for for whatever reason. So instead of making motions and having the agency deny them, because you saw the last 8 motions we submitted, I think they were all denied, or most of them were denied, because it didn't fall into the mission of the agency. How about this? How about if we as a committee start building a position? We can take a position. The agency can't deny our position, right? So if we want to take a position that the rules were not, the former rules that are in draft form right now weren't created properly, or, and I'm just, you know, paraphrasing here, but if we wanted to take a position where subcontracting is allowed, or if we wanted to take a position that active participation wasn't being afforded. So if we wanted to go through and build a well-crafted, well-thought-out, articulate, legalese position paper that dealt with a handful of issues that we're facing, we can use that position not only with the legislators, but with the governor's office and with the commission board and whoever we choose to, RSA, you know, so forth and so on. And what that does is that keeps us out of that broken system, which is the OAA system. And so I just wanted to mention that may be something for us to consider moving forward on how to address some of these things that are serious concerns. You guys have any, the board members have any ideas on that?
Chair House?
Yes.
Obviously, the previous elected committee put together priorities or strategic priorities and stuff, and I do agree with you 100% that we should have a position paper and what we should, the steps that we should be taking to do that. And therefore, you know, I agree with you wholeheartedly on that. There are critical issues that we should be addressing now to make sure that we're getting our goals and objectives accomplished. And so I would volunteer to chair a committee to work on that strategic priorities, position paper type thing, and bring back some recommendations on who, what, where, when, how, and why, and then we can move forward with that.
Well, I would accept your volunteerism to head that project up. Again, we all need to be involved, and we all need to pitch in and help. So I'll certainly accept that, and, you know, I'll be involved in that as the next CEO, and we'll see what we can do about, you know, getting our voice heard and not getting it stifled through the process, you know, or what you have. We have a few other things here. I know we're running low on time. My thought is unassigned vending. We've already at least discussed that, you know, at the 1,000-foot level. I think we put that on our next meeting on the 28th, and we get into that a little bit more in depth. We do have, if you guys are okay with that, that would be my recommendation. And that's under B. And under C, we have requests for assistance. So does the board and the managers, do you wish to continue on and deal with these requests for assistance that seem to fall late in our meeting? What would your preference be?
I think people should talk.
Okay. Any other comment?
Well, I'd like to move on to assistance.
Okay. So we are requesting number C under request for assistance. And what I will say is that the Commission for the Blind, and again, I'm summarizing here. 5 or 6 years ago, for the blind was bringing in about $90,000 a year in unassigned vending, and that was vending that was not going to the licensed blind vendors. Using that vending to help fund the program through managerial services and to work staffing and you know, et cetera, et cetera. So back when I was chair, we created a request for assistance and we developed a guideline for how to assign different vending, unassigned vending and satellite locations and like that. When RSA came to monitor our state, they gave us kudos for being able to increase the income. And to, somebody has a TV in the back, please mute your phone. So anyway, they give us kudos for stimulating that income and joining and merging those locations. And over the last 3 years or 4 years, it's my position that the Commission for the Blind has been very resistant to that. They don't believe that's proper or appropriate, and so forth and so on. Now, with that being said, everything that we would request that a licensed blind vendor, you know, have a satellite unit added to their location or that unassigned vending be assigned to stimulate income, as best of my knowledge, is not against the law. If the Oregon Commission for the Blind wanted to support that and we did our motions in an open meeting and, you know, Commission for the Blind would be able to do that. There's nothing that would prevent the Commission for the Blind from being able to help managers out there who are struggling. You know, the Act talks about maximizing your vocational potential, enlarging economic opportunities, maximizing, no limitations. It all talks about stimulating income. Managers make $200,000, $300,000, you know. A person shouldn't be embarrassed or ashamed at going after additional opportunities, because that's what our program's about. And so with that being said, I just wanted to set the stage. I haven't seen the agency be very proactive on helping to stimulate and provide these opportunities. Case in point, $23,000 in unassigned vending last quarter went into the agency. Where's that money going? $15,000 the quarter before that, $10,000 the quarter before that. The vending from Gordon Smith now is going in. The vending from Steve, or from Ken Gerlich is going in, which is, I think, just shame and wrongful. So, I certainly support request for assistance, and with that being said, I want to move on to the request for assistance. First, under A, number one, or C, number one, is Derek Stevenson. Derek Stevenson, have the floor.
Yes. Yes, I put in a request to Eric several months ago to have...
And there is Derek, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Just let's all remember there is a conflict of interest for any kind of motion, actionable item. Thank you.
Yes. I put in a request several months ago to Eric to have Ken Gerlich's first temporarily assigned to me, and then eventually assigned to me on a permanent basis when that became available. And as you know, I sent out all the board members my settlement that I reached with the Commission for the Blind, which said that they would be working towards building up my vending route as things become available. And also, when I first started this program, you know, Grants Pass and Medford and Southern Oregon was to be part of my ROD, and after I went through all my training for a year and a half, 2 years, the day before I got my license, they gave all that vending to Ken Gerlich. So that was pretty much what my complaint was. I wasn't trying to take it away from Ken, but I'd rather then call attention to, hey, the commission said they were going to do this. And this is why I went through all that training, and then they didn't follow through. So, you know, I'm sad that Ken passed away, but, you know, at this time I'm down here in Southern Oregon, and it would only make sense to add that to my route and bring up my income so I get out of the cellar.
And Derek, just so I'm understanding, your request is to specifically what?
Assign Ken Gerlitz, join Ken Gerlitz's route with mine.
Okay, thank you. Is there a motion? I'll accept a motion as a board member. Any board member wish to make a motion on that?
What about me, CJ?
Chair Howe? Yes. Yes, sorry.
I'd like to make a motion that we recommend to OCB to add Ken Gerlitz's route to the Southern Oregon route, for that purpose of helping OCB comply with their settlement offer in Derek's arbitration. I am familiar with that. So I move, since OCB hasn't really actively worked, that we add Ken Gerlitz's route to the Southern Oregon route. And I don't have a conflict yet.
Yeah, there has been a motion made. Do I have a second on that?
I'll second it, Steve Jackson.
Okay, Steve Jackson is seconded. And I do want to remind everybody, it should be a conflict of interest. Art, it potentially could be a conflict for you as well, being you're a relative. So I would just encourage any kind of before a vote stating a conflict. A motion has been made and a second has been taken. Is there any discussion on this?
Jerry Bird?
Yeah, Jerry.
Okay, let me get this straight. Derek's asking for some help. Now, we have the same handbook, right, that we had back in 2001. Nothing's changed as far as statutes much or anything. Okay, I'm just getting this clear in my head. So, and then at one time, we opened up another central vending route. And the person that was giving up their other vending route said on the meeting that that would go to Mr. Stevenson. So that's when we all was given stuff, you know, as far as helping us all out. And then come to find out, when that person got the other new vending, they kind of reneged and just said, I'm going to keep them both. And that's where it stands. So I think Derry's kind of saying, you know, what about me? It seems to be legal and they do it. Why can't I have two vending routes the same as another licensed manager? Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry. Any other comments?
Yes, Derek.
Derry?
Well, I don't look at it as having two vending routes. I think, you know, my vending route has been small and, you know, lacking, and like I said, I'm in the bottom tier of the income being made by flying licensed managers. I don't want to run two routes. I want to join the two routes together to make one.
This is Lynn James. Can I make a comment?
Yeah, Lynn, please.
Yeah, you know, I agree with what he just said. You know, we actually had committees and sat around, two or three years ago now, and we discussed being able to bring up our low-income earners' income. Their revenue is, you know, some of us are really, really low. And we discussed doing that and actually voted on it. So I agree with him. I don't think it's a two or a three or a four vending route situation as much as it is trying to increase the income for the low-income earners.
Yeah, thank you, Lynn. And, you know, again, let's look at it this way. The agency, if they chose to, if we make a motion and this motion is adopted, the agency could accept it and they could allow it, or they could continue that money going into set-aside. So, you know, I mean, you look at the intent of the program. Is it to fund the program, or is it to put licensed blind vendors to work and give them quality employment? So if there's no more discussion, I'll go ahead and call for the question. Is there any more discussion? Okay. And again, please, Art and Derek, you may want to, prior to a vote, announce a potential conflict. So there's been a motion and a second. I will call for a vote. Yay or nay, Derek Stevenson?
Yeah, declaring that I have a conflict because it's mine, but I feel strong enough that it should be done that I would say yay.
Thank you. Art Stevenson? Art?
You're on mute?
Yes.
Okay. Chair House, I may have a conflict of interest because Derek is my brother. However, I am voting yay because there was an arbitration agreement with Mr. Stevenson to enhance his route, and that hasn't been done correctly. So I vote yay.
Thank you. Jerry Bird?
I vote yay too, and I also do agree that I just had to bring that out, but I would prefer a bigger route than some little teeny small ones, so yes.
Thank you, Jerry. Steve Gordon.
Yay.
Okay, thank you. Steve Jackson.
Yay.
Thank you, and I vote yay as well. Okay, that motion is passed. Next on is Lynn James.
I'm sorry, I was going to ask a question, but it sounds like you're on top of it, so go ahead, I'm sorry.
Okay, well, next on the request for assistance, Lynn, is you, and I'd like you to go ahead and share your story, if you would.
Well, very basically, this is in regards to Cover Oregon, which, as you all know, was closed down as the first executive order after the governor took office, Governor Brown. So I basically lost this site, which was through no fault of my own. I've been trying now for over a year to get some type of location added to bring my revenue back for what I lost on that site. I've followed all protocol. I went through various emails. I went through teleconferences. I've requested with both past chair LaWanda and Director Morris as well. And I had asked for any type of vending that could be added, even if it were not equal to what I lost in actual revenue, something. And the only thing that I managed to get after probably about 8 or 9 months of email writing and, as I said, teleconferences, was Director Morris did say that I could come into his office and basically sit down and he could perhaps show me how to take the route that I did have and make more money, which I thanked him for that comment, but I didn't quite agree with it because it's not a question of not knowing how to run my route as much as it is a question of the Oregon coast has no populace. So I did thank him for that offer, but that doesn't help the situation. So I'm right back to the same thing saying, here I am. I lost the site through no fault of my own. I would like something replaced for it. I asked for anything at all, and I was basically doing nothing.
Well, Lynn?
Mm-hmm.
I understand also, I believe you had indicated that when Joe Bassett passed away, that you had done a request.
I not only requested Joe Bassett's route, but I even made a suggestion that if it was an issue with the agency and or the BECC or anyone in authority about providing that route to me, maybe the route could be divided between myself and another person in the program. I was more than willing to make any kind of concession of any kind that would monetarily bring my revenue that I had lost from Cover Oregon back up. I was not asking necessarily for the whole pie. I just reached out for anything, and I just simply got nowhere.
So at this point, are you requesting Joe Bass's former route?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And I'm understanding that you requested that previously at the same time Ken did, and correct me if I'm wrong, but
I requested it prior to Ken Gerlich requesting it.
But Ken was given that instead of you at that time.
Yes, after many months after I had requested it before Mr. Gerlich, and like I said, I have several emails sent to Mr. Morris, as well as a teleconference between he and LaWanda. And LaWanda actually asked Mr. Morris if there was something he could give me to make up for it, and he said he would look into it. And then about 3 weeks to a month later, I got a letter from Mr. Morris saying basically I could come in the office, and he would help me, being redundant, figure out how to earn more money on the route I currently had, but that, no, he could not assign me any unassigned in me.
All right. Well, thank you, Lynn. So you guys have heard Lynn's story. If somebody would like to make a motion to assign Joe Bass's former vending route to Lynn, I would accept that motion. Is there anybody that would like to make a motion for that?
Chairman Huff?
Yes.
Steve.
Dave?
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion that Lynn James gets awarded the former route of Joe Bassett's vending under her hardship, too.
Okay, so a motion has been made. Do we have a second on that?
I second it. Steve Gordon.
Steve Gordon has seconded it. And remember, Lynn, any vote? Well, you don't vote, I'm sorry. A motion has been made and a second. Is there any discussion on this?
Jerry?
Yes, Jerry?
Yeah, kind of same thing. It's good. The same thing I just want to say is nothing else has changed, no handbook, nothing else. It was awarded to Ken Gertz, so it's legal to be awarded to him in a temporary basis. That went on. So anyway, this should just be following past practice. Thank you.
Thank you. Derek, I think I heard you.
Yeah, I just wanted to see if I understood this, because I thought when we were talking about the Edith Green building that we removed Joe Bassett's vending from that facility and we made a motion to return that back to the Edith Green. Am I mistaken, or...
Well, I think we did previously.
I think Lynn deserves the easement also.
You know, if the agency decides not to do that, I'm not sure what the agency is going to do, but
I would like to make a friendly amendment to this motion to say that if that Joe Bassett's route is going to be added to the Edith Green, to return back to Edith Green, that the commission takes a step to find suitable replacement vending.
A friendly amendment has been made. Do you accept that, Steve Jackson?
Yes, I will accept that.
Okay, and Steve Gordon, do you accept that as a seconder?
Yes, I accept that.
Okay. Is there any other discussion before we call for the question? Okay. Hearing no discussion. Yes, Art.
I'd like to make another friendly amendment here that if it does get returned to the Edith Green, because I know there's other unassigned vending out there, for example, the vending in Eugene for the Veterans Building that we've recently procured, that we to learn unassigned vending that is currently being collected to equal what would be put back into Joe Bassett's.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I think that's what my amendment was. That's what I said.
Okay, well, you know,
they can accept that, too. They can make
okay,
it acceptable.
So do we, Steve Jackson?
Make a clear motion.
Steve Jackson, do you accept that?
Yeah, I do accept that.
Okay, and Steve Gordon, do you accept that?
Yes, I do.
Okay. I'm going to call for the question. It's signified by saying yay or nay. That's Derek Stevenson?
Yay.
Art Stevenson?
Yay.
Gary Bird?
Yay.
Steve Gordon?
Yay.
Steve Jackson?
Yay.
Okay. Moving right along, and I would say yay as well. Moving right along. That motion passes. We have Steve Gordon up. Steve, you want the floor?
Yeah, it's basically I wrote out a request assistance on the normal form for the request. It's been probably a year and a half or longer. Haven't heard word, nothing. Also, no emails on such fact. Basically, the latest thing that I had ever gotten was two Coke machines placed at the South End rest areas at Oak Grove, and that took me 3 years to do. And so, basically, again, I'm still requesting assistance, so I rest my case.
Steve, and so what would you be requesting at this time? I know it falls right in line with everybody else, you know, that if the agency accepts it, it's not illegal, and it's been, you know, commended by RSA, and it has been our past practice, and it all goes toward stimulating income and bringing people's income levels up. So are there any, or is there any specific vending that you earmarked or, you know, help us work through this?
There's nothing I've really earmarked. It's just, you know, there's an awful lot of unassigned vending out there that should be going to the operators, I believe, by law, and to be dictated to what we can or cannot do. It's just like, well, why do we have a board that is just as important, because it is a legal statute and we operate through everything with the, you know, according to the rules and regulations of a public body.
Yeah.
And it's like we ask, we don't get answers for, and so.
Well, Steve, if I may, again, I don't, you know, want to belabor this issue, but it's clear that the agency is bringing vending in-house that should be going to the vendors, and they're doing it without active participation. They're doing it arbitrarily and capriciously, from my perspective. And that vending, I'll live and die that vending should go to managers. That's the intent of this program. And there was a recent, I know Char McKenzie, when Char bid on the DMV, she left behind three or four different locations that were attached to the Oregon Lottery. Now, they closed the Oregon Lottery espresso down, but they kept all the vending associated with that. And from what I can tell, it brought in about $1,800 a month. So that may be something that you could request that be assigned to you. You know, I mean, I'm just trying to help you work through it. So,
thank you, Mr. Hoff. That's a possibility. Or the recent Douglas County, you know, if they're going to separate the vending from and close down the cafeteria, it's supposed to go, it should be with the cafeteria, though. So I don't want to, you know, I don't want to touch that.
Well, you
Chair Hobbs?
Yes, Art.
I make a motion that the vending that was tied to the lottery building and is now going into unassigned vending be attached to Steve Gordon's vending route.
Okay, a motion has been made. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, Jerry seconds it. Any discussion? And make sure that anybody who votes and might have a conflict before they vote exercises that conflict, potential conflict. Any discussion?
This is Derek.
Hey, Derek.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I misunderstood Steve, but I thought he said that he did not want that location because it should be staying with the cafeteria.
No. Derek?
Yeah.
I would, but from all indications, the TV is taking it in-house, and they're going to be possibly closing that location. They have a month to put it out for good.
Yeah, just so I can clarify that, just so you know, Derek, the motion made by board member Art Stevenson was the Salem area vending that was associated with the lottery. I think there was about three or four different locations there. It was not the Douglas County. It was the Salem area lottery connected vending that formerly was managed by Shar Hawkins, and it brings in about $1,800 a month that I can tell.
Okay. Well, my main concern is, you know, we know they've stripped vending from managers or facilities already, that since we're going to be fighting them doing that, that we don't double dip on the same thing.
Sure.
All right.
I got you. Yeah. Art? Did you want to make a comment, Art, before we move forward? There was this.
Well, no, I was trying to clarify that. Randy is all, and you clarified it, so let's call the question.
Okay. I'm going to call the question, signify by saying yay or nay, and Steve, you'll want to, state your conflict. Derek Stevenson.
Yay.
Art Stevenson.
Yay.
Jerry Bird.
Yay.
Steve Gordon.
Conflict.
And you can still vote after you state a conflict of interest.
Yay.
Steve Jackson.
I vote yes.
And I vote yes as well. Thank you. That motion passes. We'll move along to the last request for assistance. Last but not least, Steve Jackson. I think we all know and have suffered along with Steve. He went from higher in the income rankings to lower in the income rankings, and no fault of his own. One of his locations was stripped away from him, and we contend wrongfully, and I know that is currently going through the complaint process. However, Steve has a right, like any of us do, to receive a quality income, and with that being said, Steve, do you want to share your story?
Thank you. Yes, try to make it quick. I just want to say, through a turn of events, losing the state building, which was a profitable building for me as well as where I work now, but together it was making a living. There's been multiple businesses that have opened up in the neighborhood within the last 6 months, 8 to a year. So that's affected my business. I have requested for help from the past chair. I've done it not through a special form, but just through emails, and I have not received answers. I'm not sure if I didn't request it right, but once again, I've read and, you know, is there should be no limitation to our profitabilities, and I feel like I can take on more. All my old customers at the state building, I see them, they say they miss me, they ask me why in the world did you not work there, what made you leave, and I can't tell them the answer because I don't know. I really would like to know what's going on with the labor and industry building. I feel like other people have asked for assistance, and then they got it. I don't need to name names, but if this labor and industry billing is being set back or put back into set aside, I'd like to ask Eric, did you start any discussions with the elected committee about putting that money back into set aside? Because I don't remember seeing a bid announcement or anything for that, and I'd like to straight up ask you to please send me that commission, because I am struggling and there's lots of bad weather lately. I'm in a federal building and people are taking days off and telecommuting and working from home, and I can barely pay my employee. I'm really struggling right now. I just want you guys to know that, and I desperately need, I want more work. So if some in-house vending could be sent to me, or the Labor and Industry Commission could be sent to me, because people talk about their vending routes and the checks that they get. I'll share with you guys. I'm not shy about it, but my vending checks are like $250. You know, like my last one was $217, and so like anything that could be sent my way, I'd greatly appreciate it.
I know you asked a question of Eric. I don't know if he had a chance to answer or not, or if he wants to answer that question.
We did not put the L&I building out to bid.
Okay.
Okay.
Was it your decision to put it into the set-aside then?
Yep.
Do you have a... Okay. Could you please make the decision to help me? Yeah, if you could.
Okay, so you so you guys have heard the question or the concerns that have been brought forth by Steve Jackson. What's the board's pleasure?
This is Derek.
Derek?
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion that Commission for the Blind, since, you know, Steve Jackson said he is available and wants to work more and earn more money, that the Commission for the Blind abide by the law, which says a blind person shall operate. The commission can only take over and put money in set aside if there's not a blind manager available. And obviously Steve is available, and I think we should make a vote to make sure that the commission add the vending to Steve Jackson throughout.
So a motion has been made. Do I have a second on that?
Second.
A second has been made. Do we have any discussion here? Hearing no discussion, before we call the question, make sure and state a conflict, Steve Jackson, on this priority. Hearing no discussion, I will call the question yay or nay. Derek Stevenson?
Yay.
Art Stevenson?
Derek.
Art Stevenson? Art Stevenson? Jerry Bird?
Yes.
Terhausen?
Yes, Art.
Yeah, my phone went dead. I had to get on the other line, so I missed all the conversation. Can you please tell me what I'm voting on?
Yes, it's assigning the income from the... Well, Art, Derek, you can share it with him. The L&I location in Salem that is currently paying approximately $800 a month into the agency. It's not being operated by a blind person. We're trying to find a way to assist.
Okay.
Oh, Steve, the vending, there's vending associated with it as well. So.
Okay, am I off mute?
Yeah. And
yeah, I vote yes.
Okay, Steve Gordon.
Yay.
And Steve Jackson.
Aye.
I have a conflict of interest, but I still believe that the guest has the right vote.
Okay, so that motion passes. Thank you very much. And I vote yes. I'm sorry, I vote yes as well. That motion passes. Operating agreements, we're almost done here, guys. Operating agreements, I see Eric received my operating agreement today from Mark Riesmeyer. And I don't know, Eric, if you have any update on the operating agreements or if everybody's receiving those or...
I don't have any updates tonight, Randy. I just got back.
Okay, you guys have any questions on that?
Before you left.
This is Darren.
Yeah, Darren?
Yes, I'd like to, you know, I told you guys I had trouble reading emails and stuff, and I'd just like to know if Eric has sent me one. I just haven't gotten around to finding it yet.
Yeah, I don't know, Derek. I'll have to look into it and see if we've sent you one yet or not.
All right.
Yeah, Derek, just so you know, I just got mine today from Mark electronically, and he's going to send a hard copy. And it was fully signed. So, again, we'll find out about that. Any other discussion on that? Okay, that was 10-11. We basically really talked about labor and industries as a concern. It's being run and has been run for a number of years. I know previously it was subcontracted, but it does about $23,000 in sales a month. And why it's being not assigned as a satellite and or operated by a blind vendor is beyond me. But it seems to be one of those things that falls under the radar. 2017 legislative session agenda, we're going to talk about this more, but I will tell anybody who's on the line, there has been a draft legislation drafted both in the Senate and the House to support and stimulate employment opportunities for persons who are blind here in Oregon. It talks about the priority. As you guys know, the agency for years and years has said that our state statutes are ambiguous and we have a preference, but it really doesn't mean anything, and the Attorney General opinion means this and that. And as you know, we've been told that we really just have to get these locations being nice, and the law doesn't really mean much. I'm paraphrasing, but that's pretty close to what we've been told. And so, especially with this unassigned vending issue that recently reared its ugly head, legislation was drafted by a senator and a representative. And we, it's being supported by our private partners, and as far as I can tell, the other consumer groups, and it talks also about the agency being responsible for providing a report card to the Legislative Assembly every year. You know, who are you putting to work? How are you growing this program? You know, what are the AG's costs? You know, the list goes on and on. It talks about inclusive of active participation. It is intended to create it in the law. It talks about trying to find a way around this broken, failed administrative system. Is there a way that we can work through the conflicts that we run into in a more effective way, saving taxpayers and saving, individuals' money. It also talks about survivorship. It includes survivorship. Recently, Kathy Gerlitz was basically kicked to the curb because Ken passed away. And you guys know who have been at the program forever. We're in this as partners. It's not art. And it's not Randy, and it's not Jerry. You know, it's Art and Nikki, it's Randy and Linda, it's Jerry and Cindy. And so, you know, we tried to deal with this a few years back, and I know the agency pushed back on it, but just to let you guys know, Right now, session starts February 1st. Right now, we have a chance to make some changes to the legislation, and so it's going to be a way to get us all to the table. I know Canteen and John Eames, through their lobbyists, have been very instrumental in Salem, and the common theme is, look, at the agency doesn't let people to the table. They don't allow people to be involved and talk. And so this is going to force us all into hopefully making a better program. You know, a couple of years ago when we brought this forward, the agency director went and said they were going to build rules that included the Freeman Memo. They were going to build, and I'm paraphrasing again, but they were going to build rules that helped address the state statutory problems. Well, 2.5, 3 years later, that didn't happen. So, you know what? We're taking it on, and hopefully as it moves forward, with the support of the Legislative Assembly and the Governor's Office, and as well, hopefully, with the Commission for the Blind, we're going to be able to help make this program grow and grow and grow. So that, just wanted to give you an update on that. Hopefully at our next meeting there'll be a more thorough, in-depth, and you'll be able to see a copy of the draft. Following right along into number 12, AG costs, we're going to, if the board will allow me, we'll push this through to the next meeting where we can talk more thoroughly about it. Is that okay with you guys? Do you have a problem with that?
Hey.
Gary, go ahead.
No, I just mean I agree, yes.
Okay. And
let me make a motion. Make a motion that we table this till next meeting.
Okay, so a motion has been made to table those final items. Do I have a second on that?
I second it.
Second has been made. Any discussion? Any discussion? Steve Gordon seconded that. The motion's been made. A second. I'm going to call for a roll call vote on that. And yay or nay, Gary Stevenson?
Gary.
Stevenson? Art Stevenson?
Yay.
Gary Burr?
Yay.
Steve Gordon?
Yay.
Steve Jackson?
Yes.
And myself would be a yay. Before we close out, is there any other business?
Yeah, Randy?
Yes.
I would just like to suggest that we put this at the beginning of the next meeting instead of putting all the stuff in front of it, take care of
sure. Yeah. What,
the stuff that we moved, keep them.
Yeah. Well noted, Derek. That's a good suggestion. Is there anybody out there that during open discussions before we close out and before we adjourn this meeting, is there? Yes.
You were talking about the legislation. I tried to get in there, but I didn't. I do believe, and you said this was, you know, the session's going to start February 1st. We're not going to have our next meeting till the 28th. So I want to make a motion, and I'll work with you and whoever, but I do think that we need to put together a position paper. I know you want to put together a position paper to put before the commissioners and all that kind of stuff, but I think we need to start working on a position paper concerning the program to present to the state legislators and stuff. And so I would like to volunteer to start working on that. So, and also that we do definitely, are proactive in meeting with, the legislators of the Human Services Committee, which is in charge of the budget and all that kind of stuff with the vending program, and that we come up with a position paper to present at the next meeting on how we are going to address the programmatic problems. And I know we're going to be talking about the introduction of legislation, but I think we do need to put together that position paper.
Okay, do you think that needs to be a motion? I'll accept your motion if we want to make it, or do we just, you know, put that on our next agenda and work through it, or how would you like to handle it?
Well, I'd like to commit that we're going to put together, a position paper to present to the legislators, because the session's going to start. We don't know why the budget is going to come up or any of that kind of stuff. And so we need to really be prepared at the start of the session to be very proactive for our program.
Yeah, and like Derek said previously, I think the work group would probably be the best way to handle this, and we want everybody involved, right? The
board, absolutely.
No better, no bigger, no different than the licensed blind vendors who, you know, are dependent on this program for their livelihoods too. So hopefully we can include us all. So again,
one quick,
if you want,
Randy, Chief.
Yes. Yeah, Jerry.
And this is just a quick question to Eric, because it was brought up at the last meeting. We discussed about the implementation plan ever coming to a BECC meeting and being voted on, discussed, et cetera. And Eric said he thought it might have been, and he's going to look back and see if there was. And I done research and looked clear back and couldn't find up, and I asked the chair at the time if they done that, and she said no, they just had a little behind-the-scenes meeting, and so it was never brought forward. Eric, did you find any meeting that was done properly?
Jerry, I haven't had time to dig through it yet.
Okay, thank you. Back to Art. Art, do you want to drop that motion, or do you want that motion to go forward? Up to you.
Let's just work on it. Let's just agree to work on it.
Yeah, we're gonna agree to work on it, and let's go ahead and move forward. Open discussion. Is there anybody that would like to make any comments? And
Randy?
Yes.
Is Terry Smith still on the line?
He is.
Terry, would you mind working with our vending facility development committee on the commissary project? I know all of us in the elected committee want to exercise our preference, and we're going to have another meeting. Could you get together with Derek on the vending facility development committee and kind of give us a little more information so that we can address this issue in the next meeting, because we are very tired of losing business opportunities for blind people. We want to exercise our preference. We know you have a commissary program out there, and I know we want to get this implemented and started so that we can start creating more lucrative jobs for blind people here in Oregon.
I'll provide whatever technical assistance I can.
Okay.
I'd be happy to talk with Derek, whatever.
Okay. That would be great, and then we can put that on the next agenda and start getting that going.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Terry. Thank you. Is there any other open discussion? I wanted to say a couple of things here before we close out. I wanted to remind us all, and, you know, I know there's been some comments about, you know, the former BECC or whatever. Let's get all get over that, Let's all work together. You know, none of us are without sin, right? None of us are perfect. You know, what's the old saying? He who lives in glass houses throws the first stone. So we need us all to work together, and we need to keep our focus on the important issues, and that's building income for people and putting people to work and strengthening the laws. And, you know, I want to work with NFEI and NFB and RSDA and ACB and NAVA and NAMA and, you know, everybody we can, because that's the only way we're going to get anywhere. Eric, I apologize for keeping you late. It wasn't my intention. I know that you ride the bus. Hopefully you have a ride home tonight. Hopefully in the next meeting or two, we're going to get this whittled down. There's just been a lot on the plate. I want to thank Terry for joining in and anybody else who joined in, and Vance Hoddle and the rest. And I would like to adjourn this meeting, if we may.
Thank you, Randy.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good night, you guys. Have a good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.